In the seminary, they train the preacher never to look in the eyes of any of the people in the pews. And the idea is that the preacher is addressing the whole assembly and not any individual. So we're supposed to look at all the people and not simply one. But sometimes you just can't help it. Any good preacher wants to connect. And what better way to connect than to look somebody right in the eye? So every so often, people like myself do that without even thinking. We start to look somebody in the eye. And when that happens, often enough, I'll find people doing the same thing that the people in the gospel are doing, looking intently. And by that, it's as though they don't know what to make of the preacher's message. It's not like they're giving you an expression of agreement or disagreement. It's more just something like this. And I think we have something like that today in the gospel. Jesus is the preacher, and like any good rabbi of the day, he gets up, he stands before the people in front of him, reads a passage of scripture, offers a few words of reflection based on what they've heard, and afterwards, he sits back down. But of course, this is no ordinary homily, and it's not just because it's Jesus who's delivering it. It's also the message that he's giving, because it's totally extraordinary. Because here he is saying that everything that the prophets foretold about the coming of the Messiah, Ezra, like the first reading, and others, all of those things is now coming to fulfillment in him. So whatever is binding people, holding them back, be it materially or spiritually, all these things are being released and set free in his own person. And Jesus says this not to draw people's attention to himself as though he needs the attention. Jesus wants to direct them to the will of God and to the divine plan of God, his and our Heavenly Father. In the news lately, there's been a lot of talk about the State of the Union speech. And for a while, there looked like there may not be one. But now the question seems to change every day, but the question seems to be when and where. But those questions aside, the State of the Union speech serves as kind of a preview of things to come. What are the national priorities in the next year? What are the hopes and the aspirations of the country? And Jesus' address in the synagogue has some parallels to the State of the Union speech. Although I think it would be more accurate to say that Jesus is giving a state of the world speech. He speaks of God working in the world, announcing good news, curing the sick, freeing captives, letting the oppressed go free, a year acceptable to God. All these are priorities in the sight of God. But Jesus wants to make clear that these are not simply future priorities and future promises on God's behalf. They are present realities taking place in the here and now. And if the people are willing to look at the deeds and the words of Jesus, they'll realize that his speech is true, that this plan of freeing and curing and setting free is going on now, not something to happen at a distant point in the future. They can experience God's actions for themselves, taking place in the present time. A friend of mine just returned from a trip to the Hawaiian Islands. Poor guy. And on the trip, he was able to visit most of the islands that make up the state, and of course, he brings back plenty of pictures. And one picture, it's Diamond Head on Oahu, then it's waterfalls in Maui, then it's pineapple plantation somewhere else on another island. Beautiful pictures, but over and over as he's flipping through these pictures on his phone, after every few pictures, he just says, boy, it looked a lot better than this. And I think we've all had that experience of taking pictures and then look, you know, of these beautiful scenes, and then later looking at them and thinking, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same. And I think there's a parallel here with the life of faith, that it's easy to hear and hear about other people's experiences of God's work in their lives. But that's almost like a picture for us. It's not the same as experiencing God for ourselves in our lives. And that's not always easy. But I do think that those people in the synagogue with Jesus give us a clue on how to go about experiencing the Lord for ourselves. And that one word is intently. They looked at Jesus intently. They wanted to hear what his message was. They wanted to see the things he was doing. And for those that were able to do that, those would be the ones whose lives would be changed, who would follow in Jesus' footsteps, while others who were just thinking in terms of the pictures of Jesus didn't follow him, and some came to reject him because they had their own ideas. Key for us, as we approach Lent, believe it or not, isn't that far away, is to ask the Lord to help us listen closely, to watch closely for the signs of God's work in our lives, in us and around us, never letting the bad news become our news, but allowing God's saving work to be front and center in our lives, knowing that God is with us here and now.